From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justify a two-length lead as they come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming. Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Far outside, a late run from Giacomo. Giacomo surging, a fleet Alex, closing argument. Giacomo in the final stride to win Derby 131.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good morning. And once again, welcome to the show that launched a network. This is the Equine Forum, presented all month long by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you for the next couple of hours. And happy to have all of you tuning in across North America on Sirius 219, XM Channel 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and those listening digitally, and you're doing that at horseracingradio.net. Well, some welcome news to begin today's show, and I know that many of us have been anxiously waiting to hear these words since early March. Racetracks across the country are beginning to reopen. And not just in this country. Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson announced this week that he is hoping for a return to racing in early June. Churchill Downs, Santa Anita, and Golden Gate all getting back to racing this past week, or in the case of Churchill, this weekend. And this past week, we saw Charlestown resume racing. Their schedule began after nearly 2 months of a racing hiatus. And the result was a new track record for the largest non-Charlestown Classic Day handle in track history. $4.3 million was wagered over the course of the nine-race program. That represents the fifth largest handle in the track's near 87-year history. Spectacular. Charlestown Vice President of Racing and Sports Operations Eric Zimney was quoted as saying that there was unquestionably a heightened morale at our property tonight, which is a very welcomed sight during such a difficult time. Perfect way to put it. And that's going to be the result at many tracks, which are now reopening. Not necessarily the lofty wagering numbers, although we have seen these numbers be strong throughout the pandemic, as racing has pretty much been the only show in town when it comes to sporting events. But the immeasurable boost in morale to those employed by the racetracks and the horsemen who will now have additional spots to run their horses and make money, that shouldn't be overlooked. That is huge. And this past Wednesday, I spent an hour visiting with trainer Amira Shashakli on our trainer talk show. And you might say, who? You probably should, because Amira has yet to saddle a horse. She worked for Gary Contessa as his assistant for about 10 years. And she, with Gary retiring, she has now taken over training of many of Gary's horses. But as I said, she's yet to saddle a horse because she is based in New York. And as we know, there is no racing at Belmont Park at this time. I think most people anticipating we could see racing in New York in early June, but even that isn't a guarantee at this point in the game. So Amira isn't able to earn an income to support her business through purse money, which means that she is being forced to survive solely on the day rate that she charges for those 17 horses. It's hard enough to get your business off the ground when you're a new trainer, but try doing it without a place to run your horses. And that's the situation facing so many trainers in areas like New York, where we don't have racing yet. Churchill Downs, the numbers, first of all, the cards at Churchill and Santa Anita this weekend are great. They are spectacular. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that so many people have been jonesing for an opportunity to get their horses into these races. And now we have that opportunity. Ben Huffman, the racing secretary at Churchill, has done a fantastic job. I talked to him on the phone earlier this week, and I congratulated him on the programs that he's been able to put together. And in typical humble Ben Huffman fashion, he said, well, it helps when you're the only show in town. And it does. And I asked Amira during the interview with her, and by the way, you can go back and hear that entire trainer talk show on our website at horseracingradio.net, the full hour visit. She was outstanding. But I asked her the question. I said, listen, why don't you take your horses and go someplace else, like Churchill, where you can have an opportunity to run those horses? And she pointed out the fact that it's hard to get into these other tracks right now. You can't, it's not like we're accustomed to seeing in racing, where you can just ship your horse in here, ship your horse in there, and run, and then ship back out. This is a different world right now. And it would be too difficult to try to get into those other tracks. And quite honestly, she probably couldn't. So she's playing a waiting game. But like Ben said, it's easy, or it helps when you're the only show in town. And it's good to see Churchill as the show in town here in the Bluegrass. I know everybody across the country and certainly here in the Commonwealth excited to see Churchill back in action. They're going to be highlighted, that Saturday program, today's program, highlighted this afternoon by the return of champion Monomoy Girl. And this is cool. She makes her first start since winning the 2018 Breeders' Cup Distaff at Churchill Downs. And we know how brilliant she was. Hoping she can return to that same level of brilliance as she gets started again here on May 16th. About a year and a half later. Michael Dubb, the owner of Monomoy Girl, is going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern Time. Looking forward to that visit. He'll talk about what these past months have been like. This past more than a year, trying to get her back to the races. So we'll talk to Michael Dubb at 8:35. Darren Rogers, the director of communications at Churchill Downs, will be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Mike Willman, director of publicity at Santa Anita, will have a preview of their opening weekend and what we can expect over the remainder of the meet. Keep in mind, with both Churchill, Santa Anita, any of the tracks that are opening now that have missed weeks and months of running, that means that their stake schedules, everything is going to change. It'll be different than we're used to seeing. But I'll talk to Darren and Mike Willman about that in their segments. This is also supposed to be Preakness Stakes Day. We'll have an announcement later today on NBC as to the new date for this year's Preakness, but obviously it's not happening this afternoon. Scott Wyckoff is with our affiliate WBAL in Baltimore. He's going to be with me at 9:20. Looking forward to that visit too, because Scott has been around the Preakness for a very, very long time. He's been covering it for BAL, and he'll have a chance to share some of his favorite Preakness memories. One of my favorites that immediately came to mind as I was getting ready for the show was a Fleet Alex and Scrappy T. Remember that unexpected confrontation at the top of the stretch where a Fleet Alex almost, well, he did. He pretty much went to his knees and was able to recover and still draw off. That's a moment we'll look back on when I have Scott on the program at 9:20. So many great moments, and it's sad not to be there. The Preakness Stakes was our second national radio broadcast. Now, check that. It was our third. We did the Belmont Stakes in 2007 as we were just getting the network off the ground. Came back, got the rights to the Breeders' Cup later that year. And then in 2008, was able to start broadcasting the Preakness Stakes. We've been doing that ever since. Same with the Breeders' Cup. And pretty much the Belmont Stakes, too. I think we missed 1 year in there. But, yeah, it's a special, special day for me personally because of what it represents. But I know it's special to a lot of people. And hopefully we'll have the opportunity to relive that experience again before too long. But for now, we're in a holding pattern. We'll find out when the new date for the Preakness will be coming up later today. Other things are reopening. Not just racetracks. Many states starting to open their doors again, which means that we are doing things a bit differently. We're doing it in limited capacities. That applies to restaurants here in the Bluegrass. And as everybody knows who listens to this program, one of my all-time favorite restaurants is Tony's of Lexington. Tony Ricci, the owner of Tony's, is going to be with me coming up after our first commercial break at 8:15 Eastern Time. And he's going to talk about opening their doors again on May 22nd. He'll also talk about what these past couple of months have been like and now what they're going to have to do, how things are going to change when he does open on the 22nd. But I know one thing for sure, he's just happy to have those doors open again. And I'm really looking forward to talking with Tony at 8:15 Eastern Time. Question of the day, you can go to at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to weigh in. Do you find yourself betting on races more now than you normally would? Yes, no, and about the same are your three choices to answer. Just kind of curious. You know, people are sitting around, staying home more often. Racing's been the only show in town. Do you find yourself betting on races more now than you normally would? Yes, no, about the same. Let me know, at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, going to get to a break. Again, very, very busy program. Every segment is full. We'll kick it off next with Tony Ricci from Tony's of Lexington. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented all month long by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at FarmPaint.com. That's FarmPaint.com.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Spendthrift Farms' popular Safe Bet program is back for 2020, featuring freshman sires Brody's Cause, Cinco Charlie, and Hit It A-Bomb. Breed to one of these stallions and watch their first crop of two-year-olds have greatest stakes success on the racetrack this year, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born in 2021. To learn more about the Safe Bet program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Big Brown rolls up on the outside to take the lead. Riley Tucker, Hey Burns running a big one as well as they make the turn for home. And Race Car Rhapsody's trying to unwind toward the center of the track. They're in upper stretch, and Big Brown's in town. Big Brown by four. Race Car Rhapsody, Stevel's in third. Macho again on for a late piece of the action, as well as Zicka Bad Crane, who's running on late as well. But inside the final 16th, Big Brown barrels through Baltimore with plenty left on his undefeated run for the Triple Crown.
Big Brown barrels through Baltimore, one of my favorite Dave Rodman calls. That was in 2008, and as I told you in the first half of the program, the first segment, that was our first ever broadcast of the Preakness Stakes here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We've been doing it every single year since that day in 08, and looking forward to doing it later this year, whenever that may be. Again, that announcement coming out later this afternoon on NBC, so make sure you're locked into that coverage, because that should be big news for our sport, hoping to get this Triple Crown organized in some form or fashion, and we'll have to see how it all plays out. I told you that many racetracks are reopening this weekend, and we saw it this past week where many tracks started to kind of open their doors again without fans, racing without fans. This is a different world, a different culture, a different time, and nobody knows that better than Tony Ricci, who is the owner of Tony's of Lexington, Tony's of Indianapolis, and Tony's of Cincinnati, the most outstanding steak restaurant you will ever eat at. I promise you that. I've had so many people that I've sent there, they've told me the same thing, and Tony is been going through a very difficult time, no doubt, with he and his entire team over the past couple of months. But they will open their doors here in Lexington on May 22nd, and he is kind enough to spend a little time here this morning with me. Paisan, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Mike, I am doing great, as best as we can possibly do. And, you know, times are certainly different and very challenging. But the one thing my family, my faith, and my friends have taught me, if you always have a positive outlook on everything, everything just turns out the way it's supposed to. How are you?
We are doing just fine, keeping things rolling here from my home studio. And my producer is in our Lexington, our main Lexington studio. So we've been able to be okay and get the shows out there throughout this entire pandemic. Unfortunately, you made the decision, I guess it was your decision, to close the doors and not offer, say, curbside service or some of those other things we've seen from other restaurants. So you've been closed the past couple of months. Talk about that decision, Tony, and what these couple of months have been like.
Obviously, when the decision came down, that's a good question. Thanks, Mike. Obviously, when the decision came down for us to close in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana, you know, we sort of like we're scrambling. Okay, what do we do? Do we offer curbside service? Do we offer, you know, takeout meals and so on? And not being able to foresee what was coming, we tried it for a few days, and then we looked at it and we looked at where we were financially, and we were sitting okay for a stronger reopening than we had when we first opened the restaurant, if you will. So we made that decision basically based on that. The other factor was, are people going to want to spend, you know, that amount of money for takeout at Tony's, and how consistently are they going to come in? And we basically decided, you know what, we're going to have to do so much business in order to keep certain people employed and others have to be furloughed, that we basically said, you know what, it's best for us to close our doors, think about reopening strong and coming back with, you know, a full menu and what people are used to with Tony's and getting the whole experience rather than just takeout, if you will.
Well, now the reopening will be this coming Friday, May 22nd. If I'm not mistaken. And if that's still the case, Tony, tell me what that's going to look like now. How much different will it be?
It is going to be different. We are going to try our best to bring our hospitality to everyone that dines with us. And thank goodness that, first of all, I want to, you know, very thankful for the staff that I have, how they're coming back together. And they want to reopen our restaurant with Augusto. But it is going to be different. You know, we're going to be at 33% capacity. We have to have spacing between tables. We have to do our own due diligence regarding the CDC regulations and regulations as far as what we do in the restaurant. So people are going to come in and they're going to see a folded menu that's been handed to them in the past, but they're going to see a paper menu that we can throw away as an example. You know, wiping down tables just a little bit more. There's a lot more of the precautions that we've done in the past are going to be happening now. As far as the food is concerned, as far as the level of service is concerned, that's all going to be the same. We've had very good experience with our purveyors, and we've been with them for a very long time. So they knew that this was coming, and they're ready for us. There could be some items like our dry age products that are not available yet that need time on the shelves in order to dry age. They'll be back probably sometime in mid-June, but we'll be ready to go. But it is going to be different, but hopefully people want to get out and have fun with their families and friends and just enjoy a good meal.
If people have never been to Tony's of Lexington, you walk in and there's the dining area, and over to the left is the bar area. You mentioned 33% capacity. Will the bar still be open for people to sit at the bar, or do you have to kind of alter that portion of the restaurant too?
You will not. You're not going to be able to sit at the bar. As a matter of fact, yep. In Ohio, the regulations are a little bit leaner than they are in Kentucky, but I made a conscious choice at the bar in Cincinnati as well not to have seating around the bar. But we will have seating at the tables in the bar spaced out per the parameters laid out by the governor and the health department. And, we'll be serving you'll have a bartender back there, but he won't be serving drinks from the bar. He'll be making drinks for the servers that are waiting on the tables, if you will.
Yep. And I'm assuming, Tony, that the servers will be face masks and gloves, and like we've seen at other restaurants that have reopened in other states. How about in terms of the patrons? Will they be required when they come in? Will they be required to have a face mask on and take it off when they eat, or how does that work?
You know, I'm assuming patrons can come in with or without a face mask. I know that there are guidelines for the patrons to be cautious, but they're going to have to take, if they come in with a mask, they're going to have to take it off in order to eat. So it doesn't really make that much sense for them to have that burden up and down with a mask. We're going to do our part to try and keep the distance between the guests as best as we can. We've outlined procedures from the valet to the hostesses to the manager to the server as far as how we're going to relate the menu and serve the food. So it's going to be trying, and I hope that the powers that be give restaurants like myself, just a bit of leeway that if we do something that's not, kosher, if you will, or not right for that we can correct it right away. It'll give us the opportunity to correct it, because this is all new for everybody. And I'm hoping that the reopening is going to be strong and that we can continue down the path of just getting this country going again, because I believe that people, we as Americans, we want to be out there and we want to be having a good time.
Yeah, amen, brother. Tony Ricci from Tony's of Lexington with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, Tony's will be reopening this coming Friday, May 22nd, 33% capacity, which I guess, Tony, also means that reservations are going to be a premium, right?
Yeah, I would definitely everyone to make reservations via Open Table or calling us directly. Please keep in mind that we are working at a 33% capacity, so the amount of guests that we can take is obviously diminished by 66%. and so there may not be the tables to be had. So if guests can be flexible with days or times, we will accommodate every single one that calls. I'm asking for a little leniency on everybody's part. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think everybody understands the situation that we're in. And I think if we just get through this together, I think we're going to be just perfect.
Yeah, I would agree. Let me ask you this question, Tony. At 33% capacity, how long can you – and I know the goal would be, at least here in the Commonwealth, to grow this into, you know, if things continue to improve and or at least stay the same, grow this into maybe larger capacities for restaurants. But at 33%, how long can you continue to keep the doors open and provide this service for everybody if you're only operating at 33%? Is that enough?
Yes, we will be fine. Fortunately for us, my restaurants have a higher seating capacity than most others.
Yep.
So a 33% capacity for us is we're doing some decent numbers.
That's true.
And we will do those numbers consistently. Then you have to figure out, okay, how much staff do you really need to produce these numbers? And then you make decisions on that. You know, do we bring in a cook in for just 3 hours or 4 hours? And so on. So behind the scenes, you have to look at the numbers. But my thing is that I want to reopen. I want to get back to business. And if we have to take a hit for a little bit, we'll take a hit for a little bit. I'm okay with that. But I think if we see the trends of this virus, this invisible thing that's going on, going down, I think that we're going to open up this baby quicker than most people think.
Yeah,
at least that's
great
what I'm
see.
Praying for.
Yeah, it would be great to see. How about the locations in Indianapolis and Cincinnati? What's the status there?
Cincinnati will open on the 21st, so a day before Lexington. As I said before, the restrictions are not as restrictive as they are in Kentucky, and which is good because you can take both and you can apply, you know, well, wow, this is a good idea in Kentucky. Let's just do it in Cincinnati as well. Does that make sense? So you have that ability. Indianapolis is probably not restaurants are going to be able to be at 50% capacity beginning June 1st. So they're a couple weeks behind.
You and I have talked so many times over the past few years on this program and, of course, privately as well. And you treat all of your employees and all of your customers like family. And this happens so rewarding for you and so exciting to open the doors and kind of welcome the family back in.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, exactly right. It's like, going away for, a few months and then coming back home. So, we're hoping we're going to be very conscious of the handshakes. We're going to be, I'm a hugger. And I go up to people, and I'm known for giving little back rubs on the back and so on. So I have to change my habits a little bit, too, until people, become more comfortable. But I'm out there, and I'm going to be out there, and we will welcome people just as before, knowing that, it's a stranger time, but it's going to be a better time, I think.
Tony, I cannot wait to stop into the restaurant and experience that steak. For me, it's all about the Sir Barton. I don't deviate. It's the same thing every time I go in. Greatest steak on the menu, in my opinion. They're all great, but that's my favorite. And I can't wait to get in there and chow down on a Sir Barton again.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. I certainly appreciate that. And we can't wait to serve it to you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Tony Ricci here, Tony's of Lexington, Tony's of Cincinnati, Tony's of Indianapolis. I've been telling you for the past couple of months that you could be supporting them online, buying gift certificates that you can now use when they open their doors. 21st in Cincinnati, 22nd here in Lexington, a little bit later in Indianapolis, but we'll anxiously await that day too. Tony, really appreciate it. And by the way, congratulations to your son, Giovanni, who is now going to be in camp with the Carolina Panthers. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Very proud of him. Very thankful. Very grateful. He's a good man.
Yeah, and so are you. Tony Ricci. on HRN. Tony, appreciate the visit, my friend, and stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you in the restaurant very, very soon.
God bless you, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I mean, so many, that was a great visit because he talked about so many different things. And, you know, we see it in the news all the time. There are people that are hurting in so many different ways, and the restaurant business has taken a huge hit. Tony's been in a unique position. He's been very fortunate to be able to weather this storm, and we'll see how this plays out now. 33% capacity, again, opening up later this week. Make sure you go support them. They have really been supportive to the Lexington community, and I know they do the same in Cincinnati and Indianapolis, so make sure you do that. By the way, stop by Woodford Feed again yesterday here in Versailles. You talk about a business that is working under adverse circumstances, not allowed to have anybody in their store, so they are doing everything as a drive-through setup. Now, if you've ever been to Woodford Feed, you know that that's a challenge, and they are meeting that challenge. And Bob Cleveland and his team, what a job they're doing. This is the time for fertilizer and seeding and mulching and all those types of things that they have at Woodford. They also are an official steel dealer, Carhartt. They offer that clothing. You can get it all. You can still get it all at Woodford, even though you can't go inside the store. So make sure you give them a call and tell them that you heard the Baron talking about them, and they really are doing a tremendous job. So hats off to them as well. All right, it's time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf. By the way, the Lexus store of Lexington, the showroom is back open. You can stop out and see all the great folks at the Lexus store. The service department continues to remain open. Go see them. It's all part of the reopening here in the state of Kentucky, but it's good to see the showroom back open at the Lexus store of Lexington. And this is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. When I come back, I'll visit with owner Michael Dubb. We'll talk about his champion, Monomoy Girl.
This man was born not far from Monticello, Virginia, on June 26, 1875. His father had come from Louisiana to defend the Southern flag and stayed on to rebuild from the ashes of a totally decimated Southern way of life. His mother was the daughter of a man of property and slaves and was the arch prototype of Southern aristocracy. As a young man, he was raised among the horses of Ellerslie, his father's estate, horses with names like Scathelock, Aeolus, and Aeoli. His respect for the fineness of the equine breed was there informed and was, in fact, an integral part of his life forever. He went to school for his first 12 years in a one-room brick schoolhouse under private tutelage at Ellerslie. He began his college matriculation at the tender age of 15 at Johns Hopkins, but finished that portion of his education at the University of Chicago circa 1895. He went to work on the farm of his father and chose farming and the breeding of horses as a way of life. He became a junior partner in Ellerslie and stayed at the breeding and selling of yearlings until 1907, when he came to Lexington, Kentucky to judge a horse show, met his future wife Nancy, and thereby sealed his future. They were married in 1908. They had a son in 1910. His wife's both parents died in that year of 1910, and she thereby inherited 847 acres of the family farm, Marchmont, which later became Claiborne. He settled into raising tobacco and breeding thoroughbreds there. His first stallion was named Celt, and then Rack, a stallion he and a friend purchased in England, was added. Later, he purchased a mare at auction by the name of Mary Frances from one James Benali Hagen. War, the one which was to have ended all wars, came in the second decade of the century, and this man brought several stallions quite thriftily in England at the time. His well-founded thoroughbred empire well on its way. As years went by, standing at Claiborne were the likes of Ambassador Four, Jim Gaffney, Omar Khayyam, Warcloud, Stimulus, Starhawk, Brown Bud, Gallant Fox, Toro, Raycount, Omaha, Pompey, and Sir Galahad III plus, Johnstown, Blenheim II, and Rhodes Scholar. His name was at the top of the list 5 times in money won by produce and 9 times in total money won. He sold Ellerslie, his Virginia birthplace, in 1946, and it was not long until Nasrullah was added to the already illustrious list of Claiborne sires. He was a mainstay of the Saratoga sales over the years, and not only helped organize, but became president of the Breeders' Sales Company. He had been ill for several years before succumbing to the Grim Reaper, so to speak, on Monday, April 1, 1957, as an octogenarian. This tall Virginian with the omnipresent silver-crested hickory stick always wanted to leave everything in better shape than when he found it. More than one person has known they were much the better for having simply known him. He was, you see, of the breed that held a genuine courtliness and all that went with it. Good blood, kindness, courage, hospitality, and a genuine deep affection for things of beauty. He left an enormous imprint on all of that which thoroughbreds and thoroughbred racing stand for. He was Arthur Boyd Hancock Sr.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
First Crop 2-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 First Crop Juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Monomoy Girl is taking the lead at the top of the stretch. Blue Prize runs at her. The two of them turn for home with Midnight Bizou, third on the outside. 3/16 to go. Monomoy Girl to catch. Florent Giroux goes to an all-out drive. Blue Prize trying to stick with her. Midnight Bizou continues to move down the center. Monomoy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Bizou. Monomoy Girl has won the distaff. Wildcat came late for a second, then Midnight Bizou and Blue Prize. And Abel Tasman was last under the wire.
She's back. Monomoy Girl back in action later today at Churchill Downs. Fourth race on the program, 4-5. Morning line favorite for trainer Brad Cox. Owner Michael Dubb, Monomoy Stables, the Elkstone Group. Huge partnership involved with Monomoy Girl, and rightfully so. She has been brilliant. I'm back as well. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Happy to have you with me as we continue to discuss racing returning to many spots across the country. That is welcome news to so many of us who have been awaiting that those words since mid-March, and joined now by owner Michael Dubb, who I know is very thankful to have Monomoy Girl back at the racetrack later today. Michael, first of all, good morning. Hope you're safe and healthy.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Great to have you on board. That little trip down memory lane there, the Breeders' Cup distaff, Larry Colmus with the call, that was the last time we saw Monomoy Girl on the racetrack. It was at Churchill Downs, 2018. Boy, she was brilliant, and now she's coming back again, looking forward to that.
Well, you know, it's a credit to our partnership. We're all good friends. We all get along. We all are in the game to race. And it's a credit, obviously, to Brad Cox, his patience and his tenaciousness and his strong desire. And even to Florent, who's always guided this horse with the utmost of confidence. So it's good to have the gang all back.
Yeah, I think I might have left off one of the partners, Bethlehem Stables, as I was going through the litany of ownership involved with Monomoy Girl. Michael, when you think about these past, well, 18 months or so, and what this journey has been like to get her back to the races, take people through what she has been through and what you and the other owners have been through with her.
Well, you know, we've gotten literally within a few weeks of racing her two times. You know, once it was for colic and we had to back off just a couple of weeks before we were ready to go. And the other time it was a suspensory pull and we had to just back off and give the horse time. And, you know, each time we asked the question, could we, should we, can she, will she? And, you know, she's given Brad every reason to believe she has the desire. Through the years, Philly's harder to bring back off a long layoff than boys, but she's no normal filly, and she's full of desire.
Was there ever a time, Michael, when you sat down and talked to the other partners and you said, well, you know what, maybe we just need to retire her and say thank you so much, you owe us nothing? Was there ever that moment as you were thinking about trying to get her back to the races?
Well, we always had in the back of our mind that if she didn't come back 100% and she didn't exhibit the desire, we would absolutely pull the plug. She's going to make a great mommy, and, you know, she'll have time for that. But we were always always saying, you know, unless it's not 99.9, it's 100%, we would pull the plug, yes.
So coming into the race here Saturday afternoon, and you see her go into the starting gate. Obviously, she's on her A game 100%, or you wouldn't have her back at the races. So as an owner, you have to stay on the sidelines now and watch her. You can't be there at Churchill Downs. How difficult is that when you have a horse that's this good?
Obviously, the partners and myself would travel to all ends of the earth to see her run because it's a special moment and all around her. And it will be surreal sitting on my couch with nobody else around me but perhaps my wife watching her run. But I'll take it.
Yeah. Are there going to be some anxious moments as she loads into the starting gate?
When she loads into the starting gate, I'll probably be shaking, yeah.
I can imagine so. You know, again, just hoping and praying that everything goes well. And if she's a fraction of what she was before, she looks like she should be very tough in that spot later today.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, 18 months is a long time for any horse. There's a couple of horses in that race that are truly no slouches. Talk the View to me. Ran second to her in the Grade 1 Acorn, and his first time for Steve Asmussen. So, you know, we'll let the race unfold, and let's see what happens.
What has Brad told you about the way that she's coming into this race?
He's told me that she is moving better than he's ever seen, and she's training better than he's ever seen.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then she could prove to be very, very tough and validate that 4-5 morning line odds. Monomoy Girl in the fourth race at Churchill Downs. Michael, let me ask you, as an owner, you mentioned that you're going to have to sit on the couch and watch her run, but you haven't been able to attend the races for your horses in a couple of months now. How much different has that been for you, and how challenging is it?
You know, I'll be honest with you. It's not so much attending the races as going to the barn and seeing the horses in the morning and being around them. That's when you really develop the relationship. That's when you really, you know, have the time to sense, you know, the individualness of the horse, what their quirks are, what their habits are. So I would say I'm okay watching them on TV. I hope not for much longer, but it's really being at the barn, which is what I miss the most.
You know, so many times, Michael, as we're traveling around the country and we're going to different racetracks, of course, that's not the case at the moment, but over the past several years that we've been doing that, I'll run into people and they'll ask me about getting into racehorse ownership. What advice do you give to a potential new owner who's looking to get into the game?
Well, you know, I got into it quite by accident 20 years ago after I was involved in the Belmont Daycare Center and constructing it. And I thought it would just be fun to own a few horses. So, you know, in this day and age, there's two go about it if you're a beginner. One is to claim a horse, maybe find a few partners, spread the risk around. The other is, you know, one of the syndicates that are out there that you can learn from. I've seen owners, you know, start out in a syndicate and then go out on their own. They get a taste of it and they get a little bit of an education. The other way is to partner up with a friend.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit better, too, if you can have somebody to go down that road with you. And obviously you said you fell into it by accident. What's been the most rewarding part of being involved with horse racing as an owner, Michael?
Well, this is a question I get asked quite often, and I would say it's my involvement and my 20 years with the Belmont Daycare Center, watching the children and become, you know, come in as infants and graduate in cap and gown is more rewarding than anything I've done in racing. And I've had great, you know, great times in racing, as well as sad times, and met nicest people and friends for life in racing.
I'm so glad you brought that up. But for people that aren't familiar with the Belmont Daycare Center, tell people exactly what it is, Michael, and how it benefits the children.
Well, about 20 years ago, I was approached by Jerry Bailey, and he was commenting to me that the children of the backstretch had nowhere to go while their parents typically from 5 a.m. to 1 a.m., and that there was a need for a daycare center. I am a builder and always wanted to do something like that, do something for kids, so I thought it would be fun or nice to donate a daycare center, which I did. And once I built it, the operation was a little challenging. So I hung around as the first president for 3 years and have served as the chairman for about the last 17 years. And I watched the kids come in 6 weeks and graduate in pre-K. And while they're there, we teach them gardening. We teach them chess. We teach them computer skills. We teach them to speak English, art. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids have passed through there. And watching their growth and the opportunities they will have based on the solid foundation they've gotten, that's probably, you know, you ask the question, and that's the answer in terms of racing. But I love racing.
Owner Michael Dubb here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, my next segment after this next commercial break is our Industry Star of the Week, which is presented by our friend Stuart Morris. We honor somebody who is doing great work even outside of the sport of thoroughbred racing, and you certainly qualify for that. So I think in honor of your contributions to the Belmont Daycare Center, this should be kind of a co-Industry Star of the Week type of thing here this morning. So, Michael, congratulations. Keep up the wonderful work that you're doing there, and all the best with Monomoy Girl. We can't wait to see her strutter stuff later today.
Thank you very much.
All right, Michael Dubb here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Yeah, fantastic what he has done with that Belmont Daycare Center and being involved with that organization. Just tremendous stuff. And yeah, our industry star of the week is coming up next after this next commercial break. But I do want to remind you that if you are looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any racetrack out there, all you have to do is check out RTN.com. It's the Racetrack Television Network. I can tell you that the content is fantastic. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And as a special treat for all of our listeners, if you use the promo code capital HRRN, all capital letters, you're going to get your first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free. You can't beat it. Go to RTN.TV, the Racetrack Television Network, to learn more. That's RTN.TV. All right, I'm back with the industry star of the week, and I'll get you set for hour two right after this break on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And a Stern pulls to the extreme outside. Good standing and Yankee Rose at the 300 meters. Impending slips up behind them. Here comes the favorite, a Stern. And the colt is letting rip with a big run. A Stern heads off Yankee Rose. Then came Good Standing, impending into the clear. But a Stern, a big winner in the Golden Rose.
How good was that effort by Darley Stallion, a Stern, rated the best ever winner of Australia's Grade 1 Golden Rose, which, in case you don't know it, the equivalent to Saratoga's Grade 1 Alan Jerkins here in the United States. It's a big deal. And a Stern is Medaglia d'Oro's highest rated colt ever. And he is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Look for his first foals at the yearling sales this year and learn more about a Stern and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
I'm 3-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Welcome back. It is time now for our Industry Star of the Week, presented every week by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation and wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is absolutely because of you. Look for the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the upcoming major sales later this summer. Well, I told you Amira Shashakli was my guest on Trainer Talk this week. She is getting ready to saddle her first career starter, but in addition to that, she has another skill, which is painting, And she has a very special tie to a champion that we lost this past week because of colic. That is La Verdad. And she started by talking about her connection to La Verdad.
She kind of came into my life when she was a broodmare more because I started working for Lady Sheila by doing all of her social media. And when after that connection had formed, probably about a year or so after, one of the photos that we had taken at the farm, at Addition Farm, Kathy Landman actually took it, was just so touching. I decided to paint it, and it was La Verdad and her cap at Philly, who went on to sell for $800,000 in November, wheelings. I decided to paint that and give it to Sheila as a gift. So Sheila got that for her birthday that year, and now it's probably a little bit more touching because we've unfortunately lost her. And to add to that connection, after I did my first sort of, I guess, official interview on Sunday, I got the call from Sheila that La Verdad had to be euthanized. And it was that night that I had to sit down and decide to write something that would both be, you know, straightforward and announce what had happened, but also sort of give credit to that great mare. So I'm not sure if people have seen it or not, but there is a post that was sent through Facebook that is Our Lady Sheila statement on La Verdad's passing, and that's what she had me write that night.
Yeah, so difficult, and she was certainly a great champion. How are you going to find time to paint when you're running your own business in your own stable now?
Pretty much the same way I did when I was an assistant, getting zero sleep too. It's interesting. I just don't sit still too much. Any second of my day that I have free, I tend to fill with one thing or the other. So, you know, while you might finish your day up, whether it's a long day or a short day, and go home and watch TV or watch Netflix, I might have the same setup, but I make sure I put a paintbrush and canvas in front of me while I'm doing that. And like, this is still work time. Keep going. It's not late enough yet for you to just sit here and watch.
Take me back to the beginning, Amira. Where did this love of horses begin for you?
Well, I don't think I had much of a choice in the matter, honestly. I grew up with horses in New Hampshire, and probably we had four or five on average when I was younger, and that developed into having close to 15, but a lot of them Welsh ponies because we started a Welsh pony breeding program. My brother and I both started riding when we were younger, but on bigger horses. We had a quarter horse Arab that both of us learned on. And my brother started to get a little bit intimidated of horses and sort of uninterested and backed away. And that's when my parents went out and bought a small pony. And that's what gave them the idea that, oh, we should breed Welsh ponies because we want people to be interested in horses. And some people just can't get brave enough to be around the big ones. So, yeah, I mean, I was always mucking stalls, moving hay in the summer. Oh man, if it were a dry, sunny day in June, you were hiding somewhere because you knew you were going to be like, hey, we got to go pick up 200 bales of hay. You were going to get that call from one of your parents saying, let's go. You know, I go pick it up at Harold's. He called us and said he has it ready. Like, no, I'm at a friend's house. Thank you.
Wow.
But, you know, it's always in the fields with the horses. You know, there's work time in the barn, and that's when you had your boots on and your helmet and all the right equipment. But the rest of the day, I'd be in the field with them barefoot, going up to them barefoot, not really caring, playing with their manes, them loose in the field. I probably could have been kicked about 100 times, and I never was.
Well, thankfully, she never was kicked and hasn't been kicked, and that's a good thing for Amira Shashakli, our industry star of the week. You can tell she is well-rounded and has several talents outside of horse racing, and that's why she is our industry star of the week. You can hear the full one-hour visit on my trainer talk show this past week. Head over to horseracingradio.net and check it out. Coming up in hour number two, Darren Rogers, the director of communications at Churchill Downs. Scott Wyckoff will look back on the Preakness with me. He is with BAL in Baltimore. And then Mike Willman, the director of publicity at Santa Anita, with me as well. That's all coming up right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is HRRN.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's got a five-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front. And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby.
And the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. And it's going to be Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Ring for the Roses. It is Big Brown by five on the wire.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside, who goes the lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby.
It's American Pharoah in front, firing line. Dorkman is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby!
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com here in the month of May. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Happy to have you along for the ride as we continue a very busy program talking about racing returning in many parts of the country, including Churchill Downs. I'll be joined momentarily by Darren Rogers, who is the director of communications at Churchill. He'll talk about opening weekend. He'll look ahead to what is different with this meet now that racing has resumed beneath the Twin Spires. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the program, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast there. My visit with Tony Ricci from Tony's of Lexington, which will be reopening this Friday, May 22nd. Michael Dubb, the owner of Monomoy Girl, who's back in action later today at Churchill as well. And then our industry star of the week segment was all part of a first half of the show. Poll question today. With so many of us staying home now, more and more, do you find yourself betting on races more than you normally would? Yes, no, or about the same? Go to our Twitter feed at HRN or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let me know if you find yourself betting on racing more than you normally would now because of the circumstances that everybody seems to be in. All right, again, Churchill kicking things off later today. Can't wait to see those cards because the cards are phenomenal. And that might be an understatement. Both days, rock solid, big fields, great betting opportunities. Get ready to bet Churchill Downs. Scott Wyckoff going to join me from WBAL in Baltimore. This traditionally is Preakness Stakes Day. And unfortunately, we are not at Old Hilltop. So Scott Wyckoff will share his favorite Preakness Day memories and give us an update on when we might see the Preakness this year. Of course, the official announcement coming up on NBC later today. Mike Willman, the director of publicity at Santa Anita, going to be with me from the Great Race Place to talk about reopening and restarting their meet again and what's going to be different out there at Santa Anita. Well, here's a cool story. If you go and wager with Keeneland Select, it is a phenomenal way to support hardworking backstretch workers in that community during this very, very unique time. Bet online with Keeneland Select during the month of May, and proceeds will fund Nourish the Backstretch, which is a partnership powered by Keeneland and Bluegrass Farms Charities. They provide weekly meals and groceries to the hardworking stable community at Keeneland and the Thoroughbred Center. Sign up at KeenelandSelect.com and use promo code HRRN20. That's HRRN20 when you sign up at KeenelandSelect.com. And again, all proceeds going to benefit, nourish the backstretch. It's a great, great idea on the part of Keeneland Select. And make sure you support them and support those hardworking folks on the backstretch. They certainly need it at this very, very difficult time. Well, I told you that the program at Churchill is really strong. And I told you at the top of the show that we are seeing, and have seen it throughout the pandemic, that numbers, wagering numbers, have been very, very strong in our sport, probably because when it comes to the sporting world, horse racing has been the game. There hasn't been baseball. There hasn't been NBA. There hasn't been golf. This has been it. So the numbers on the wagering side have been strong. But to me, the more, well, I won't say more significant because they're equally significant, but one of the other significant aspects that I think gets overlooked, and it shouldn't, is the morale of the people that are involved with our game, the people that work at the racetracks at every level, every capacity, whether they're on track as an outrider, whether they are working in the starting gate, whether they are working as a mutual clerk in the restaurant. Well, restaurants, that doesn't really apply right now. I guess a mutual clerk really doesn't either. But at any level, at any racetrack, there have been plenty of times now over the past couple of months where it's been so difficult for so many people. And the morale, we saw it at Charlestown this week. Eric Zimney, Vice President of Racing and Sports Operations, said there was unquestionably a heightened morale at their property when they opened this past week, which is a very welcome sight during such a difficult time. And I told you that their wagering numbers were huge. And we're going to see the same thing with Churchill, with Santa Anita. Going to be huge. Awaiting Darren Rogers. He is trying to get in touch with our studio here. Lee is back in the studio. Lee, he is trying to call back. Maybe give him a call again. We'll see if we can get on the line with Darren Rogers here from Churchill Downs and talk about their meet. But back to Charlestown for a minute. They resume racing this past week. The morale goes up. The numbers gigantic. The largest non-Charlestown Classic day handle in track history. $4.3 million was wagered over the course of their 9-race program. The fifth largest handle in the track's near 87-year history. Just tremendous. And it is such a boost for the people that are involved in working with our horses. All right, Darren Rogers is with me now. I told you the Churchill program, not just today, Saturday, but certainly Sunday too, just rock solid, big fields, great betting opportunities. And Darren, so great to see horses back beneath the Twin Spires again, my friend.
Boy, good morning, Mike. And yes, it is. Very excited to get things underway today at 1 o'clock. You know, if you take a look at the entries over today and tomorrow, the enthusiasm from the horsemen is there from many different locales. So it's been great to see that. We reopened the stable area on Monday, as you know. We've systematically brought back horses from different locales. Every horseman or anybody that sets foot in the stable area gets a one-time COVID-19 testing. We partnered with Wild Health down there in Lexington, and we get back the results within 24 hours. And then from, you know, that point forward, everybody's getting a temperature reading and a medical questionnaire on a daily basis when you enter the facility, and a colored wristband that lets you know that you're all clear. So we're up and running. That's the most important thing, spectator free. Our next step is the focus to you know, continue to work with state and local officials to get, you know, spectators, owners, media back on site here at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, I guess that was going to be my next question. The people that are allowed on site now are the people that work with the horses directly. So a groom or a trainer or an assistant trainer, and that's it as of now, correct?
That is correct. Essential personnel only.
Yeah, yeah, and more than 700 horses on the grounds. I was talking with Ben Huffman, racing secretary, earlier this week, and I said, Ben, tremendous job in putting these programs together. And he was very humble, and he said, well, it helps when you're the only show in town. And in some respects, that's true, right? That's correct. But still, the horsemen have supported this like no other.
They have, and it also doesn't hurt to have, a good prize money. As you know, we were, beneficiaries within the last year or so of having our purses fueled by historical racing machines. We opened up Derby City Gaming in September of, 2018?
Yeah.
And so last year, our purses were through the roof, and people were supporting the racing program. Even with the historical racing machines currently shut down, and the enthusiasm of our wagering product, we've got a pretty healthy purse structure, an average of $560,000 a day in the first condition book. The maiden races are still $79,000, and the allowance races range from $81,000 to $89,000. So there's some good opportunities. And, horse racing is such an economic driver for thousands of individuals here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So I'm so happy for them. Many of these folks, they live in Louisville 9 months of the year. In the wintertime, when we're closed for our annual winter renovations, they seek other racing opportunities down in Florida, Louisiana, and Arkansas. And I'm so happy that we've been able to get them home and to get started later today.
I referenced earlier that Charlestown, when they returned to racing this past week, they had a record night in terms of their wagering, which is wonderful to see. But I said the underlying thing here that can't be overlooked when racetracks reopen is the morale and the boost in morale. And Eric Zimney at Charlestown talked about that in the press release. How about for you, Darren? You've been on the front lines dealing with this, having to postpone the Kentucky Derby, but now to have horses there and to be watching races again, what does it do for the morale of everybody involved?
Oh, it's tremendous. I know I'm fired up over this.
Yeah.
But, let's take it outside the horse racing industry. I think it's important, and especially for the people here in Louisville and in the state of Kentucky who truly appreciate the sport of horse racing. It's a part of our fabric. It's woven into it from an early age, and people really appreciate it. It's a step in our society that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We're getting some traction on some live sporting events back up and running. And by the way, I'm thrilled, to let your fans know that, we've got a great partnership with the New York Racing Association as part of the America's Day at the Races Fox Sports broadcast. Every race, every day throughout the spring meet will air live on either Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports 2. And they've done a tremendous job with their programming, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. So, I think the morale is very high. It's going to be awkward, though, at the same time. I can tell you, it's fine for the fans sitting at home looking for content. I think you're going to have tremendous content from Churchill Downs with some of the nation's top jockeys, the nation's top trainers, and the top horses. But it's going to be strange because this is going to mark the first time in our 145-year history that a race will be run at 1 o'clock with zero fans in the stands.
Yeah.
It's going to feel awkward at the same time. I don't think the fans at home will comprehend that so much, but I think it's going to be strange.
Yeah, the common reaction I've gotten from other trainers at different tracks that I've talked to over the past couple of months, like Gulfstream and Oaklawn and even Fairgrounds that were racing without fans, the common reaction I usually get when I ask them that question is, it's surreal. It's just surreal to watch a race and not have anybody cheering on site.
I might go down to the eighth pole and, you know, yell across the track at one of the jockeys. I think he's giving them a bad ride.
Somebody has to be there to heckle them. They can't get away scot-free.
Right? I mean, a good horse player would do that.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a rep for all the horse players out there that can't be there to yell at the jockeys when they come back. Darren Rogers, Director of Communications here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, racing resuming beneath the Twin Spires later this afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern, first post. And you heard the first half of the program, I had my interview with Michael Dubb talking about the return of 2008 Breeders' Cup distaff heroine Monomoy Girl. And, Darren, that is going to be fun to watch later today as well.
It really is. I think, you know, she was such a popular winner in 2018, winner of the Kentucky Oaks, and then won the Breeders' Cup distaff over her home track here at Churchill Downs. And, you know, last year didn't go according to plan. You know, they brought her back in training early last year, had a couple of hiccups, and decided it was best to lay her up. And she's going to make that much-anticipated return, a winner of – I mean, anytime you have a racehorse that's won 9 of 11 starts, that gets your juices flowing, you know. And so she's a champion coming back in a one-mile affair today. Clearly, this is a stepping stone to future stakes engagements. And I would think that, you know, our repositioned stakes schedule, the Stephen Foster Day on Saturday, June the 27th, not only features the Foster as a Breeders' Cup winning year-end event for the Classic, but the Fleur de Lis for fillies and mares at a mile and eighth. That's a winning year-end for the distaff. So I would think that this will be used as a stepping stone to that race.
Yeah, you led me right into my next question. Outside of the safety protocols, which are obviously a new necessary normal at Churchill Downs, what are we going to see different with the stakes schedule and the racing programs moving forward?
Well, I'm very excited about the, before the COVID-19 pandemic broke out, we kind of changed up our stakes schedule a little bit to create, we moved Stephen Foster to the end of the meet.
Yep.
Because we thought around the end of May, we'd be able to stage a Stephen Foster preview day. Ben Huffman has moved that up a week to May the 23rd, so a week from today. I'm very excited about the Matt Wynn being at a mile and a 16th for three-year-olds. That when you take a look at the calendar, there are no other major three-year-old races right now looming other than the June 6th Santa Anita Derby. Clearly, you would think there's going to be some major and important races that'll be rescheduled and when other tracks get up and running in the end of June. And clearly this Matt Wynn next Saturday will be a very important stepping stone. And so that's going to relaunch our extended road to the Kentucky Derby series, offering 50 points to the winner. Looking forward to seeing Maxfield back in action. I think a lot of us around the country have been waiting to see him. He was we liked his chances going into the Breeders' Cup, but then he had that little minor injury to put him on the shelf. But other horses like Major Fed, I mean, this is gonna be a fun race next Saturday.
Yeah, and that new schedule, by the way, includes some notable races like the Haskell. And big name, the Pegasus at Monmouth Park, for example, now part of the road to the Kentucky Derby point schedule. There are others involved, too, which you can go to the Churchill Downs website and see the new road to the Kentucky Derby schedule. Darren, before I let you go, about a minute and a half or so left here before I have to get to the next commercial break, but give us an update on what folks might expect September 5th, the first Saturday in September, with that Kentucky Derby. Are we anticipating, and I know it's hard to say, but are we anticipating the possibility of having fans on site for that race?
Well, our team is aggressively preparing to host a memorable Kentucky Derby with spectators on Saturday, September the 5th. You know, we're still 4 months away from that. You know, a lot can change between now and then, and, you know, we anticipate that it will. Whatever direction, we're going to continue our talks with state and local officials and rely on their guidance, and we'll responsibly, you know, make a decision for a safe environment. But we are planning for an event with spectators on Saturday, September the 5th, and looking forward to that whole week. I mean, just keep in mind the entire Kentucky Derby week that we know it, from Tuesday through Saturday, which includes Thurby and includes the Oaks on Friday. That's been picked up and moved to that September 1 through September 5 window, and that's where our plans are today.
Yeah, well, I can't wait, and I know things can change. I know we're a long way from that date, but I know the team at Churchill is working tirelessly to try to put all the pieces together. And, Darren, listen, first and foremost, stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy having racing back beneath the Twin Spires later today. It's going to be a welcome sight.
It's going to be tremendous, and thanks to all the fans for their support. Hopefully we'll put on a good show for everyone this afternoon.
Always do. Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it. Darren Rogers here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All of our guests who appear on the program do so courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by going to EmbraceTheRace.com. Good time to do it, by the way. Sitting at home, head over to EmbraceTheRace.com and check out some of their unbelievable merchandise. They do a great job. Been telling you that for years here on the program. Scott Wyckoff will join me next from WBAL in Baltimore. He will look back on the Preakness Stakes, some of his favorite memories, and maybe give us a preview of when we might see Preakness 2020. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented all month long by FarmPaint.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment, along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And Scrappy T fights for the lead and makes it. It's Scrappy T at the 5/16 taking over High Limit, and a Fleet Alex has room to roll at the quarter pole. A Fleet Alex is coming after Scrappy T in the pre. Oh, Scrappy T taking out a Fleet Alex who almost went down. Scrappy T bearing out of the 3/16. A Fleet Alex, boy, does he have some heart. Look at him come back a furlong to go. And down to the final furlong in the Preakness, a Fleet Alex, Scrappy T. How much the best is he? A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by three. Scrappy T second and Giacomo third. A Fleet Alex, awesome!
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on the Equine Forum. That was Dave Rodman with the call of the 2005 Preakness Stakes of Fleet Alex, Scrappy T coming together at the top of the stretch. Completely unexpected, but a Fleet Alex, after really going to his knees at that point, recovering, such an athlete, and drawing off and winning very, very impressively under Jeremy Rose. Scott Wyckoff is with our affiliate WBAL in Baltimore, Maryland. They would typically be at Pimlico right now, as would we. That is not happening on this 16th day of May 2020. We'll have to wait for another day, but Scott, seems a little surreal not to be there and to be talking to you in this fashion this morning.
Yeah, well, to try to look back in old times, I decided to jump in the news car and come over here today, and it's not saying it's depressing because we have so many great memories of Preaknesses, but looking out over the grandstand and over the infield right now, definitely something missing, and even the signage here at Pimlico, they haven't even put up the Preakness 145 signs yet, still a big Preakness 144 sign over the entrance here along Rogers Avenue.
When did you start covering the Preakness Stakes?
My first Preakness was back in 2003 when the huge Sacatoga Stables party rolled in their yellow school bus and Funny Side won the Preakness here. I think that was the first time we've ever had the owners in the infield. The owners of Funny Side actually watched the Preakness from the big party in the infield. So, yeah, going back 18 years to my first Preakness here at Old Hilltop.
Yeah, there have been a lot of tweaks and changes and intricacies that have kind of evolved over the years. And the Preakness, no matter what happens, is always special. I love that race because everything is right there in one location in terms of all the horses, all the horsemen. They're very accessible throughout the day, so it makes our job very easy on the media side of things. But when you think back on some of your more memorable Preaknesses that either you've had the chance to be part of on the media side of things or even outside of the business, what are some of those moments that stand out to you, Scott?
Well, really, I've been really fortunate, and so have you, Mike, being able to cover the Preakness here for the last two decades. Year after year, we just mentioned the 2005 of Fleet Alex, how Jeremy Rose ever stayed in the saddle when a Fleet Alex went down to his knees at the top of the stretch. Then, as I mentioned, my first Preakness in 2003 with Funny Side winning. Then in 2004, it was the Smarty Party, as Smarty Jones really captured the imagination of the nation. And being here just about 2 hours from Philadelphia, the home of Smarty Jones, it really was electric with all those fans coming. Those were great highs. But then in 2006, on my birthday, a great low, the tragic breakdown of Barbaro here. And it was such a downer. But coming back that next year in 2007, Curlin with a photo finish win over Street Sense. That was the closest Preakness ever, and Curlin has turned out to be such a great stallion. And then just a couple years later in 2009, it was another memorable year as Rachel Alexandra beat the boys here. And then when we thought that couldn't be topped, 3 years later, Doug O'Neill and his crew came to Baltimore for 2 weeks. They owned the town, and I'll Have Another had a great stretch run. So that was a great memory. And also 2013, at the Alibi Breakfast the Thursday before the Preakness, it was a big thrill seeing Mike Penna presented with the Old Hilltop Award for covering racing with excellence and distinction. The year after that, California Chrome, Steve Colburn and the whole crew come here. The Chromies came to town. But, of course, the Triple Crown winners, and you were here for both of them, Mike. American Pharoah 5 years ago, Justify 3 years later, and even last year, War of Wills, Redemption, after his well-documented troubled trip in the Derby. So, yeah, we've been really fortunate in the last two decades to have some very memorable Preaknesses here.
Yeah, there's a saying that you should always know your audience, and obviously Scott Wyckoff does, bringing up the old Hilltop Award. very nice working that in there. I appreciate that, Scott. By the way, Scott Wyckoff with WBAL in Baltimore, our longtime affiliate for the Preakness Stakes, and he's been covering it, as you heard him say, since Funnyside crossed the finish line that year. Scott, how about, I know one of the things I really admire about you, you do a fantastic job of putting together different feature pieces, which might focus on the starting gate crew. It might focus on another aspect that's somewhat overlooked, if you will, when it comes to the Preakness. Some of those stories that you've been part of over the years, what are some of those that stick out to you when it comes to the Preakness?
Well, right off the bat, and where I am right now at the track, I'm right by where the maintenance team is, the folks that harrow the track, that prepare the surface, that put down the water, that make sure it's safe for the riders and the jockeys. That was amazing because I literally got on the tractors and rode around as they were harrowing the track and stood next to that water truck as it was being filled with thousands of gallons of water and the sounds and sights of that. But I think one of the neatest stories I did that aired with you guys was the starting gate. And yep. I spent an entire – I've become friends over the years with a number of the assistant starters and, of course, the starter. And to spend a day with them actually in the gate for every race, and they gave me total access. It's interesting. One of the neat things about covering horse racing is if you show an interest in racing and you want to tell a story of someone in racing – they're going to give you total access, and that's what the starting gate crew did here at Pimlico. I spent an entire Saturday afternoon with them, and the sounds and the energy, and, you know, we hear it on the radio, and we see it on TV when that gate opens, and you hear the clanging of the steel and the bell ringing. But to be right there, and they would let me get in one of the empty gates while it was happening to get the sound of it, it's amazing, the rush. And then, you know, the horses coming around and coming right by you again after you've let them out on the track, that was neat. It was neat a couple of years ago. There's a young guy who comes to the track each day, a teenager who eventually wants to be the next Dave Rodman here at Pimlico and Laurel Park, the voice of the Preakness. And I followed him around, and we went up on the roof right by where the Horse Racing Radio Network does your broadcast from, and spent an afternoon with him as he was calling the races and talked to Dave Rodman about what it was like when he was a young announcer. Another real neat story I did also on the roof of Old Hilltop here, the main grandstand, where the race callers who document the races, who follow each and every race and give us the great Equibase facts that we use to handicap these races, getting up on the roof with them. And, I mean, Dave Rodman calls the races. These two call the races also to each other, and they document every move on the track. Those are some of the neat stories. But, boy, you know, when you think back on it, there's so many sights and sounds at the track. And one of the great things about radio, the career that you and I have taken when you focus on horse racing, is there's so many stories at the track from all walks of life. And there's so many different sounds that you can use to help tell those stories. So that's really been the thrill for me over the last two decades here in Baltimore, having the opportunity on WBAL Radio and also some of them, as you say, airing on the Horse Racing Radio Network, is to tell those stories and to give those sounds. It's been fun, it's been neat, and it's been quite an honor.
Yeah, we are all anxiously awaiting the announcement for this year's Preakness in terms of a date. We haven't seen that officially announced yet. NBC will be airing a show later this afternoon called The Middle Jewel, American Pharoah's Run to the Triple Crown. That airs at 5 p.m. Eastern. Mike Tirico is going to visit with Belinda Stronach, who is the chairman and president of the Stronach Group, and then also Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. They will have the official announcement. Are you? I won't ask you to give it away if you already know, Scott. But are you starting to hear some rumblings about that, and when we might see, number one, racing return to Maryland, and number two, when we might see the Preakness?
Well, I'll start with number two in the Preakness. Boy, we can't wait to see the announcement. And, you know, Larry Hogan every couple of days has been doing press conferences here. The governor of Maryland, who's been leading the state's fight against the coronavirus, and oftentimes, you know, it's not good news that we hear from him. So we're very excited to see him on NBC, and he's joined by Mike Tirico and Belinda Stronach to make that announcement. You know, in the racing business, we handicap everything, and, you know, we put the odds. The odds on favorite right now would be an fall date, possibly early October. And if you really get inside the numbers and handicap this thing, on October 3rd, there is a primetime Notre Dame football game on NBC from Lambeau Field when the Fighting Irish will be playing the Wisconsin Badgers. And coming about a month after the Derby, that might be a good date for the Preakness, because it would come after the Derby in the fall, early in October, and it would also give a chance for NBC to do a nice lead-in. Typically, out of the Preakness, they're doing a big lead-in to Stanley Cup hockey, so maybe that would lend itself to it. And it also would give enough buffer between the Preakness and the Breeders' Cup a month later so as not to interrupt the Super Bowl of racing at Keeneland. So that's the early betting favorite, maybe something in the fall, in October. There was also talk here of possibly trying to do it in the summer, because though we don't know a lot about the coronavirus right now, there was a hope that maybe in the warm, humid weather of the summer here in Maryland, maybe July or August, that the coronavirus might go away. So those have been some dates that people have been throwing out there. I think you might get a little better money if you go to the window with a July or August date as compared to a fall date. But that's really what folks are looking at now. With the Belmont, you know, the Belmont hasn't even been officially postponed yet from its original date of June 6th. So, yep. You know, we could have a real topsy-turvy Triple Crown season. And then you mentioned racing in Maryland. I mean, the biggest day of racing in Maryland is, of course, the third Saturday of May, which is typically this day for the Preakness. But, you know, there is year-long racing in the state of Maryland. There are very few weeks that do not see racing, be it here at Pimlico, at Laurel Park, or at Timonium. And right now, there's a great hope that maybe in the next week, with phase one of Governor Hogan's roadmap to recovery from the coronavirus here in Maryland, as they move into phase one, the gradual reopening of the state and the economy, there's a hope that maybe on maybe May 22nd, that there could possibly be a reopening of racing in the state. That would happen at Laurel Park. If it happens, there would be no fans and no owners, a very limited footprint of people on the site. But, of course, that decision to reopen rests with both the state and the local county, Anne Arundel County, where Laurel Park is situated. But a plan for this spectatorless racing with extensive safety protocols in place. I mean, they have pages and pages of protocols all ready to go that they've been using in training as they still train here in Maryland, but protocols that have been in place with the Stronach Group tracks at Gulfstream, and now with Santa Anita being reopened, they're very believe that these protocols can really lend itself to safety. So, yeah, there's a hope that the racing in Maryland went dark with the outbreak of the coronavirus 2 months ago. There's a hope that maybe racing can return possibly end of next week.
Now let's welcome news. Scott Wyckoff, WBAL in Baltimore, with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Scott, listen, stay safe, stay healthy, and really appreciate you taking a little time on what would be Preakness morning here today. Appreciate the visit, my friend. Thanks so much.
No problem, Mike. Enjoy always being on the air, and we can't wait to see the Horse Racing Radio Network and all the horse racing fans come here to Baltimore later this year when they reschedule the Preakness.
Great stuff. Scott Wyckoff here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com. When I come back, we'll focus on the great race place, Santa Anita, with Mike Willman. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented all month long by farmpaint.com.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adena Springs homebred champion Macho Uno is a proven source of classic speed and a great stallion to start off young mares. Macho Uno's runners average $88,000, higher than the likes of Malibu Moon and More Than Ready. He's the sire of five Grade 1 winners and three classic horses, including multiple Grade 1 winning Sprinter and Miler Private Zone and Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man, who is now North America's number one third crop sire, having produced this year's sensational Pegasus World Cup hero Mucho Gusto, along with Del Mar Grade 2 winner and Grade 1 place Mucho Unusual, stakes winner Mucho Amor, multiple graded placed Bellora, and $575,000 juvenile and TDN Rising Star Fortin Hill. Mucho Macho Man's juveniles average $122,000 at the OBS March sale, higher than Liam's Map, Hard Spun, and Uncle Mo. Macho Uno and Mucho Macho Man, standing the 2020 season for $10,000 at Adena Springs. Visit adenastallions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
But now Instagram called on, and he fights back. Instagram game winner Roadster is finding his best ride in the center of the track, putting in a big effort. Game winner between horses. Instagram at the rail, and here's Roadster storming home. Roadster on the outside, and game winner go on with it. Roadster so confidently handled, and Roadster gets up to win the Santa Anita Derby ultra impressively. Game winner was second. Instagram third. Nolo Contesto fourth.
Frank Miramati with the call of last year's running of the Santa Anita Derby. Roadster giving Bob Baffert, well, just adding to his record in that race. He has won more Santa Anita Derbies than any trainer in history. And thankfully, we'll get a chance to see the Santa Anita Derby run this year. That was in question there for a little bit when racing was halted at the Great Race Place in Arcadia, California a couple of months ago. But now back in action, resumed yesterday. And a huge, huge weekend as well. Looking forward to the visit with Mike Willman coming up here in just a moment. And, well, it looks like Mike might be... Yeah, he does have time to join me very, very quickly. He is driving. Doesn't have much time to talk out there on the West Coast, but we'll get a hold of him right now. Mike, are you there?
Mike, how you doing? It's good to be back open.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm sure it is. And a big weekend coming up over the course of the next 2 days, 10 races each day. And this has to be a huge boost to everybody out there.
Yeah, it surely is. Everybody knows field size is what drives the wagering. And and we've sure got it through these first 3 days. And, you know, today, field size just under 10 horses a race. Same thing on Saturday. We've got a couple of really good Calbred stakes Saturday. And interesting, in the one for, you would think, Colts and Geldings, that would be the Echo Eddie. Mark Glatt's got a filly in there. He actually took a look at the nominations and thought maybe she'd be a better fit with the boys in this particular instance. And I happen to agree with him, and she's a pretty short price on the morning line. So that's an interesting race. And then we've got Bellafina coming back on short notice. She was she broke slow and was well beaten at odds on at Oaklawn, I believe on April 25th. But she'll go favorite. Baffert's got a couple of nice ones in there. He's got the Mother, who's graded multiple grade one stakes placed. And he's got another filly that's been away quite a while. But I think she's got a huge chance from the rail. That's the grade three Desert Stormer fillies and mares at three quarters on Sunday. And, Mike, we're looking for a huge Memorial Day weekend. You know, Mark Cassie made a lot of news with Brittany Ertin. I think it was a week ago today on TVG saying that War of Will was, it was a couple of weeks ago, I guess, War of Will was not going to run at Gulfstream as planned, and they would wait and run in the Shoemaker Mile turf here at Santa Anita on Memorial Day. So, boy, that's a lot to look forward to. I know Richard Mandela's got United slated for the Charlie Whittingham grade two at a mile and a quarter on grass. Memorial Day weekend should be really, really big for us. And maybe the biggest news with our revised Duke schedule, Mike, the grade one Santa Anita Derby is now going to be run on Saturday, June 6th. So, you know, with all these three-year-old races around the country, just kind of a jumble now in terms of scheduling, we've got the Derby in this slot, got a couple of undefeated, we've got Baffert's undefeated Authentic, and then John Sheriff's with a very promising horse named Honor AP, who was second to Authentic in the Grade 2 San Felipe. He's training well, and it's an interesting Derby year, you know, with being pushed back to the first Saturday in September at Churchill. It's given people more time. They've had to adjust the points thing, and who knows? Maybe it's going to turn out just to be a spectacular Derby. I sure hope so, but we're excited to be back open, Mike, and very, very excited about next weekend, Memorial Day weekend at Santa Anita.
Yeah, well, Mike Willman, Director of Publicity at Santa Anita, I know you've got a busy day. I know you have to get going, but I really appreciate you filling us in on what's happening there at the Great Race Place. And stay safe, stay healthy, and let's keep this thing rolling now.
Thanks, Mike. That's the whole thing. We're going to be safe and look forward to having you out here again real soon.
Can't wait. Mike Willman here on HRRN. And, again, busy morning for him, but we really do appreciate him spending a few minutes. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, looking forward to that. Racing at Santa Anita, racing at Churchill, maybe racing at Belmont before too long. It would be great to see racing in New York, but it's going to be really cool to see. Let's do this. We have a few minutes here, because Mike had to get going. We do have a few minutes free. And because this is traditionally Preakness Stakes Day, I got thinking about some of the things that I've enjoyed about our coverage over the years. Certainly one of those was when I got to sit down with Wayne Lucas and Bob Baffert together at the Preakness a couple of years ago. That was a fantastic, opportunity for me to do an interview with them. The other thing I liked is former jockey Christina McManigal, who took time to walk around the racetrack with me at Pimlico and put us in the saddle with a jockey who is actually riding a race like the Preakness. It was one of my favorite features we've ever produced, and since we have a little time on this Preakness morning, or what would be Preakness morning, I thought it would be fun, and here it is. Let's listen.
I load in the gate. The door is shut behind me. The gate crew all in position beside the horse's heads. Head straight, feet squared up, and I look ahead. I see a quarter mile run before the first turn. Have my plan A, my plan B, and my plan C. I'm trying to keep my horse relaxed. I'm trying to stay as still as possible. The horse feels every movement the jockey makes, and So in order to keep the horse calm, I have to be calm. And I'm focused. I'm only thinking about the race in front of me. The crowds are loud, but I don't think about that. And I grab two handfuls of mane. My right hand is higher than my left. I sticks in my right hand, and I wait, and I hear the click, and the doors open, and they're off, and I ask my horse to go. I want a good break. I don't want to get shuffled back. I need to have room to my inside to where I don't get shut off. I need to be in perfect position for when my horse switches leads. Horses tend to drop in just a little bit. I need to get good position in order not to get too crowded going into that first turn. So I'm going into the first turn. My horse's head is cocked to the right. He switches to that left lead. We're in good position. We're not losing ground. I pull down a pair of goggles to make sure I can see those around me clearly. And the jockeys around side of me are talking amongst themselves, sometimes shouting. The horse in front of me switches to his left lead as well and tends to drop down just a little. And I scream in order to let that horse know I'm right inside of him, not to drop down. We exit the first turn. The horse is straightened up. The kickback is flying back in our face, and I pull down another pair of goggles in order to see what's going on around me. And the noise from the infield, it echoes around the backstretch, but I don't hear it. I'm so focused. I'm so in the zone. I'm connected with my horse, trying to get my horse to relax, and he is, and I keep still. I don't move. I'm by myself. I'm don't want to be head and head with another horse down the backside. I want to be relaxed and save as much horse as possible. We reach the half mile pole. There's a half mile left in the Preakness Stakes. And I keep my horse interested. I ask him for a little bit. Make sure I still have horse underneath me. We have to go into the second turn soon, and I need some horse to get me home. I make contact with a bit. I tap on the shoulder. I have a lot of horse underneath me, and we go into the second turn. And I have two choices. I can go outside and get clear running room, or I can stay inside and risk getting stopped, risk a no opening for the stretch run, but I would save a lot more ground, and that's what I decide to do. I stay inside. And the noise of the horses and the jockeys around me begins to pick up. The rhythm of the hoofbeats on the dirt picks up. The horses are accelerating. The jockeys are beginning to chirp. They're beginning to ask their horses for run. And I begin to gather up some rein. I'm picking up some rein. I'm getting down low on my horse, and I'm tapping that horse on the shoulder with my stick. I haven't yet asked him for all of his run. I'm waiting for room. I'm waiting for a hole to open up on the inside. We come to the top of the stretch, a quarter mile to go. It's go time. This is it. This is the end. We're almost home, and we have the Preakness Stakes on the line. And the noise from the crowd picks up. I mean, it's deafening, and I don't hear anything. All I hear is the horses around me, and I'm asking my horse for run, and I slowly creep my way up the reins to where I have a short hold, and I'm pushing as hard as I can, and I pull down my last goggle. I have one goggle left for that quarter of a mile to go. I raise my stick, and I urge him for more as a hole opens up, and we have room to run. And around me, the noise of the crowd I don't hear, but the noise of the other jockeys and the other horses, I hear that noise, and I ask my horse. I scream, I chirp, I switch to my left hand, pushing as hard as I can. My horse is giving me everything he can. I hear some horses behind me tiring, and others are gaining. I'm only focused on my horse. I don't hear the crowd. I don't hear anything but my horse and those around me. And I get my horse close to his competition. I want that horse to look the other horse in his eye, and he's game. He's competitive. And with the 16th to go, we're in front. I gather up my reins. I throw across. I'm stretching out of my horse's neck. Inches count now. We're both giving it all we have. Pushing as hard as I can, I'm riding as hard as I can, and we're in rhythm, we're one. The competition is gaining, I hear the hoofbeats behind me. So close, I can see the wire in front of me, we're almost there. I ask my horse to stretch his neck out one more time as we pass the wire. And then I realize, we've just won the Preakness Stakes.
Yeah, one of my favorite pieces that we have produced in conjunction with our Preakness broadcasts over the years, and my thanks to Christina. I still remember that day. We walked the entire racetrack as if we were riding the race, and she took me through the process of being part of the Preakness. It was so cool. To put us in the saddle like that, a unique look at what it's like for a jockey to ride the Preakness. All right, going to take one final break. I will come back and tell you what's ahead on the network and wrap this one up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the FIPS in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Orb, winner of the Kentucky Derby and Florida Derby. His runners have scored on both dirt and turf. His recent stakes success includes Mrs. Orb, winner of the Bay Ridge Stakes at Aqueduct, Pippin Stakes victress Whoa Nelly, and Derlou, a determined runner-up in the Grade 3 La Cunada Stakes at Santa Anita. Classic winner, classic pedigree, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Good news! Live racing has resumed at Santa Anita Park, and although the public will not yet be admitted, you can play the races at the Great Race Place by logging on to First Bet. That's the number one, stbet.com, or you can download it at the App Store. First post time this weekend is at 12:30, and with the exception of Memorial Day weekend, we will be running on a Friday through Sunday schedule. We encourage everyone to visit santaanita.com for entries, morning line information, and much more. Live racing has also resumed at Golden Gate Fields, and wagering via First Bet is also available at Gulfstream Park in South Florida and at other tracks around the country. Make plans to watch and wager on the Grade 1 $400,000 Santa Anita Derby on June 6th as some of America's top three-year-olds compete for Kentucky Derby qualifying points. Santa Anita thanks you for your continued patience, and we look forward to welcoming everyone back when conditions merit. Stay safe, be well, and good luck, everybody!
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Inside the May 16th issue of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet, don't miss these feature stories. There are several good ones, by the way. The first family of Fawner Park, trainer Kelly Martinez and her husband, leading rider Armando Martinez, garner some national spotlight. Then you have Parcells Pursuit, the two-time Super Bowl winning coach Bill Parcells seeking Grade 1 glory with his stable. Perfect Game, Warrior's Charge leads the way for Marshall Graham's 10 Strike Racing. And Gould Standard, I like this one, father and son team of Clint and Lance Gassaway from Gould, Arkansas, hit big with Wells Bayou. You can do that, all of that, and see all of those stories in the new Blood Horse Magazine. Download a copy of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet today from the App Store or Google Play, shop.bloodhorse.com, or sign up at subscribe.bloodhorse.com. Lots of ways to experience those great stories. My thanks to all of our guests for helping to make this show possible, including Tony Ricci of Tony's of Lexington, which will reopen its doors on Friday, May 22nd, this coming Friday. Really excited about that. Michael Dubb, the owner of Monomoy Girl, was with me in the first half of the program talking about his champion. Our industry star of the week was Amira Shishakli, who is just beginning her training career. That segment presented by Stuart Morris. Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs. Scott Wyckoff from WBAL in Maryland with a great look back on his favorite moments in the Preakness Stakes. And then Mike Willman, the director of publicity from Santa Anita just a short time ago. My thanks to all of them for taking time to be with me here this morning. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook and on Instagram. And by the way, you can tune into all of our programming throughout the week, Wednesday through Saturday. Check out a complete schedule on our website, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget to check out the podcast of this show. All of our shows are there for you to listen to at your leisure on our website, horseracingradio.net. Been a fun show. Appreciate everybody being with me this morning and everybody who took time to weigh in on our question of the day on our social media. Now for my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studios, for Chauncey, Sean C., handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening, and as always, go Steelers.